It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. We have on the show with us, I think he's been on the show maybe once or twice before, but never for such an extended stay. One of the most talented people I know. He's a stand-up comedian. He's a screenwriter. He's a published author. Now he's an animator. He does voiceover work. He acts. And he can masturbate with just three fingers. Please welcome the very talented Ward Anderson. Hey, buddy.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay? I'm glad to be here. This is an experiment.
You
with,
sound
with new microphone.
You sound good. Wait, talk again.
Here I am. Hello.
Thank sound
you
great.
For having me.
Sound great. I'm happy to. I'm thrilled to have you on the show. So it's very interesting. Ward is being our third tonight because Joe's working, and Joe is our right wing participant. And Ward, if you've ever been on my personal Facebook page, and I don't have a ton of people there, but I have some people there. If you've ever been on my personal Facebook page, Ward is the opposite of that. Sometimes I just let Ward and other people go at it, and I walk away, and then there's 100 comments later. So Ward is. Besides being a radio host, Ward is very adept at making his opinions known, getting his point across. So I thought it would be a fine addition for this evening show. So
excellent.
I think I am the right amount of pompous for Davin's Den.
You are. You hit us in the pompous sweet spot, and really that's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
So
I think when people say things like I'm a comedian and writer and producer and published author and all these things, that's lovely. But at the top of the list is pompous.
But I thought that goes without saying. I thought your reputation preceded you.
Oh, if I had a reputation that preceded me, I wouldn't have to come on Davin's Den Tuesday night.
See, there's the shots. There's the shots. I'm gonna.
That one smarted.
That's all right. That's all right. I know things about him. I'll let that one slide, but there won't be any more. So I want to go through
welcome to the den.
Welcome to the den. Everybody gets one.
Thank you very much. And all joking aside, Davin and I have been friends for over 20 years. He is a dear friend of mine.
Thank you.
I am one of the people who has always maintained that Davin and Pip belong on a major syndicated radio show of their own or even television. I've always been a fan, and anyone that knows the two of us knows this.
So thank you.
I tease only because I love.
Sure. And he knows nobody's going to put us on TV. Look at this punim. Anyway, okay. So we got a couple stories. We got stories as we always do in this segment. I think there's going to be one story. I think the free speech one is where we're really going to be able to sink our teeth because I got a lot there, and I know you guys have strong opinions, and I certainly have strong opinions. But the first thing I want to talk about is the politicians that were storming the Capitol or tangentially involved, not the ones that are in the Congress who voted yay or nay for Trump, not those people, not the ones who spread this lie that the election was rigged, not those people, because we don't really know what's going to happen with them. I'm talking about the people in the riots. So we had a West Virginia state lawmaker who actually just resigned after he was arrested filming himself inside the Capitol during the violent siege. Republican Derek Evans, a newly elected member of the West Virginia House of Delegates, was charged with illegal entry in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, said during a press call with reporters on Friday. The federal criminal complaint listed two charges, knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building and violent entry and disorderly conduct on the Capitol grounds. Evans was released on a personal recognizance bond after appearing before a federal judge in Huntington, West Virginia. He resigned from the West Virginia House of Delegates on Saturday, saying in a statement that he takes full responsibility for my actions. You know what? It's nice to hear these people actually take responsibility as opposed to me. I'm not stealing the lectern. What are you talking about? That's my doppelganger. The past few days.
Shocking.
The past few days.
As much as I do not. As much as I, on the surface, don't like this guy, and I don't, and...
Which guy? Are we talking about the West Virginia
guy?
Are we talking about the West Virginia guy?
What?
Are we talking about this West Virginia politician?
Yes.
Okay.
as much as I may not like him, may not agree with him, and think, yeah, he did a really stupid thing, I have to respect the fact that he did not only resign, but he owned up to it, and he didn't do it with any excuses or any caveats or any kind of, but, I mean, this is how it should be done when people confess or they own up to their mistakes.
Well, I mean, Ward, Pip, everybody, there is a video of him going, we're in, Derek Evans is in the Capitol. I mean, you know, what do you do? Yes, you're... I think we've reached a pretty low bar when we have overwhelming evidence and you go, you got me, and like, wow, there's a profile in courage. That shows you where we are. But yes, your point is taken.
Dude, plenty of politicians have been caught doing things that they've found a way to try to excuse.
True.
Grabber?
This guy, it's like, it would be pretty damn sad if he tried to pretend, oh, that was a deep fake. That wasn't me in there. Mm-mm.
Well, but his lawyer said Evans did nothing wrong and characterized his client as an independent activist and journalist. So now apparently trespassing makes you an independent activist and journalist. No, you're not allowed to go inside there. Nobody can go inside the Capitol without a badge. You have to get cleared by security. You don't just get to wander around willy-nilly. So this lawyer is not very adept, I would argue.
No. It's sort of like, you could extrapolate and put that onto all different other kinds of crimes. I wasn't raping her, sir. I'm an independent activist and a journalist doing some, you know, deep undercover work.
Well, the lawyer goes on, he goes, he was exercising his First Amendment rights to peacefully protest and film a historic and dynamic event. He engaged in no violence, no rioting, no destruction of property, and no illegal behavior. No, see, he once he's inside, that is illegal behavior. This guy Evans needs a much better attorney. And that's the interesting thing about American justice. It really depends on the type of representation you can afford. Because I can tell you right now, this attorney sounds like he sucks. You know.
But, well, I mean, I agree, and at the same time, you know, a lot of times when this happens as quickly as it does, mm-hmm. these attorneys throw things out there just to kind of muddy the waters while they retreat and try to figure out what their next move is going to be. You know, I mean, come on. We've watched Rudy Giuliani, who was a very successful prosecutor for many years, stumble over his own tongue numerous times when it comes to this kind of thing.
Right, but the prudent thing for this attorney would be to say no comment. You know, no comment. We're looking at everything. We're going to go through the court system. I'm not going to say anything right now. That would be the prudent thing. Have your day in court. Don't tell me you've done nothing illegal when being inside the Capitol is illegal.
And you videotape yourself doing it.
Because they always do.
Yeah, stupid.
You could make the argument, well, maybe he shouldn't have to resign until he's convicted. You could make that argument, I guess.
I mean, you could make that argument, people have lost faith in him.
I'm hearing an echo. I'm hearing an echo. Does somebody have their computer volume on?
I do not. Yeah.
That's weird.
How about now?
Yeah.
No, I still hear.
How about now?
No, Pip, you talk.
No, it's me. I'm echoing for some reason.
Yes, it's Pip.
It just started. I don't know why.
All right, so maybe you want to sign out and rejoin us. Sign out
okay.
Of Zoom. And see if that takes care of it. All right. So in the meantime, so we'll give him a grade of 2.5 on the profiles in courage, and that he admitted to it. Can we agree on that? Okay. All right.
Sure.
All right.
I'll give you that. All right. Why not?
So this one's a little bit more complicated. This one comes from my region of the country. So, fury erupted when an online photo of Assemblyman Colin Schmidt addressing bus riders headed to the President Trump's Stop the Steal rally, a gathering that spiraled into a violent invasion of the Capitol as lawmakers tried to certify President-elect Joe Biden's victory. The Orange County Democratic Committee tweeted in the image of Schmidt aboard the bus with a message accusing the New Windsor Republican of supporting a busload of right-wing extremists and undermining our democracy. And as the chaotic events in Washington continue to unfold, on Wednesday, Orange County Democratic Chairman Brett Broge called for Schmidt's resignation, and Schmidt fired back with a statement demanding an apology, saying that the social media vitriol had inspired someone to make a violent threat to his district office. Both sides held their ground on Thursday with no dispute. The Schmidt spoke on two D.C. buses before they left Orange County, but with dueling accusations about which side did the inciting that day. Broge said Schmidt showed poor judgment in boarding the bus to speak, which he said only lent credence to the baseless claims of election fraud that Trump has made since his defeat and repeated as he addressed his supporters in D.C. Schmidt says, listen, I was just talking to some pro-life people. That's what Schmidt says. This was a pro-life bus ride. They were Trump supporters. I had no idea what was going on. That's the short of it. And, you know, the Democrats want him to resign. I don't think he should have to resign just for speaking for a busload of people who went down there for something that went tits up. I don't think that's his fault.
I don't think so either. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, this was anything that was happening. I don't necessarily agree with the viewpoints of the people that were coming to the Trump rally, but just coming to a rally in and of itself is not a criminal act. So, you know, if these weren't the people that were, if he wasn't involved in storming the Capitol and inciting them, what does this have to do with it?
Yeah, I think this is the left having overreach here, where you want to punish everybody. What do you think, Ward?
I think it's a case of covering their asses so that it won't be later used as whataboutism against them.
What do you mean?
I mean, because look at how everyone is right now about, you know, this person was involved and this person was involved and this person was complicit and this person didn't denounce and this person did. And we've seen the way that especially right-wing media is good at taking things that aren't actually fair equivalences and using them to their advantage to slam liberals and Democrats. And I think that's what this is. It's overreach, but that's also par for the course with Democrats.
See, you know, like the one argument, I guess, for the Democrats, if I was going to be on their side, is like, you knew this was bullshit. You knew this whole rally was based on bullshit, and you helped spread the lie. To me, that's the Democrats' best argument. But again, that's a really high standard you're setting for him. He's not a congressman. He's not a senator. He's a state politician. Talking to a busload of people that want to go down. Listen, there are people at that rally that did not want to overthrow the government. There were people at that rally that genuinely support Donald Trump. Whether you agree with them or don't agree with them, they have every right to support them. They have the right to assemble. And a politician has a right to talk to his constituents.
Absolutely. And on top of that, not everyone that was involved in that rally then stormed the Capitol.
Correct.
Plenty of them went home. Whether we want to admit it or not, plenty of them just got up and left right after that was over. They walked in the other direction.
You know who did that?
Just went to Olive Garden.
You know what'd you say?
I said some people just left and went to Olive Garden.
Yeah, you're right. You know who actually walked in the opposite direction? The Trumps and Rudy Giuliani. They walked in the opposite direction. Donald Trump's like, I will be right there with you. And then he said under his breath, in spirit, because I'm going back to the fucking White House to watch what you animals do. I'm not going there. That looks dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree with you about it being overreacting and overreach and everything like that. I'm just saying that also doesn't surprise me. I think Democrats often do that in the face of controversy, and I think they do it to appear to be on a moral high ground in order to fight back any semblance of whataboutism. You know what I mean? And any semblance of but your guy, you know, that's why.
And you know,
I think they were wrong, but I think that's what they're doing.
You know what that makes them? Unlikable, which is a problem. You know, listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to use some whataboutism. The right does it too. Which makes them unlikable also. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, listen, there's a time for outrage. There are plenty of people to be outraged about. This guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's talking to his constituents. Who the fuck cares?
I'm glad that you're saying that now. Like, both of you are saying this because I was reading it and I'm like, am I supposed to be upset with this person for what he did? Because I'm not getting that, you know, broiling sense of outrage that I get with, you know, a lot of the Republicans that were embroiled in this. I'm not getting it.
So now I want to talk about some people. There's been a lot more people since then who were fired from their jobs. We'll do a couple different stories. One's a regular everyday ham and egger, and another one is an artiste. So this one's about the regular everyday ham and egger, as you will. Maryland Printing Company has fired one of its employees and contacted the FBI after learning he was a member of the mob that broke into the U.S. Capitol building on Wednesday. Fairly easy discovery, since the man wore his work ID badge during a well-photographed attempt to derail Congress certification of President-elect Joe Biden's victory. After the mob forced its way into the Capitol, photographers captured a striking image of several people standing defiantly in the hallway, including so-called Q Shaman Jake Angeli, the guy with the pelts and the hornet, who, by the way, is on a hunger strike because the prison won't feed him organic food. You pussy, you. Enough, you little snowflake. You.
Oh, no, he got his organic vittles, and he's being well-fed now.
Oh, they gave him organic food? They did?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that is some bullshit right there.
I got
something organic for him, but anyway, I digress. Anyway, so a man carrying a Trump campaign flag stood next to Angeli, and some Twitter users quickly realized he was also wearing what appeared to be an ID badge for Maryland-based direct mail printing company Navistar Direct Marketing. Navistar Direct Marketing confirmed Thursday one of its employees was spotted at the Capitol writing in a Facebook post that the man whom the company did not identify was fired for cause. Navistar Direct Marketing has reached out to the Federal Bureau of Investigation about the man, company spokesman told Forbes. So they said any employee demonstrating dangerous conduct that endangers the health and safety of others will no longer have an employment opportunity. Local and federal authorities are working to identify the Trump supporters, yada, yada, yada. So this guy hasn't been convicted of anything, but he is standing inside the Capitol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, go on.
His company has the obligation to cover their asses. And here's a guy wearing his ID. They don't want any company would not want any business with that. You know, it's like here you are, you're committing God knows what list of criminal acts at this moment, and you're implicating us as being okay with that by wearing our ID? No, we got to walk away from you very quickly, son.
Yeah, I do have one bone to pick with you. I do know a cafe who will probably hire this guy in my town. But yeah,
good point.
Listen, first of all, here's my first rule. If you're stupid enough to commit a crime and wear an ID badge, you're not smart enough to work for me. That's my rules.
Yes.
It's unthinkable that you wouldn't think to take. Are you that brazen that you think that what you're doing is okay? That you're just like, oh yeah, look at my face, look at my ID in case you missed it. Here, can I hold my driver's license up to the camera in case you missed all those other signals? Come on, dude.
Well, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yes, they are. And I'll tell you, you would think they'd be smarter, but we learned in Charlottesville, where they marched and chanted, Jews will not replace us, but they will. Jews will not replace us with their little tiki torches. You know, they weren't wearing masks. They were wearing cargo pants and polo shirts. This is what Trump has wrought. This racism has always been here, but now it feels emboldened to come out. These people were committing crimes. They were talking to the media afterwards, because you know what I always say? When you commit a felony, make sure you get some good press out of it. That's what I always say. So, yes, he felt emboldened.
Well, what you just said is what really gets to the heart of it is that, you know, we've seen it. Not only did people talk to the media before and after the insurrection, but they did it during the insurrection, right? They're talking as they were doing it. And what this all comes down to now is that these people all broke the law brazenly, and really felt that there would be no consequences for them, because there's been no consequences for almost any of them leading up to this. There's been no consequences for the politicians who've emboldened it leading up to this. right? I mean, what consequences have we seen? I know that obviously the person that killed Heather Hite in Charlottesville went to prison. But as far as much of this goes with the, not the insurrection itself, but the public displays of racism and bigotry and anger and vitriol, it's gone without consequence.
The only politician who had consequences for his actions is Donald Trump. That's why Donald Trump I lost. But ironically enough, the guy who's never held accountable, he's the only, because the Republicans did better in state elections. They did better. They got more seats in Congress. They held on to the Senate barely. They were supposed to lose it by a lot more. And they've supported this guy. And everybody knows he's a fucking racist. I've said it for a while now. I didn't always think he was a racist, but he's certainly shown that he's a racist. So that, yes, Ward hits it right on the head. They figure, what could possibly go wrong? Now we're finding out. And listen, the Republican Party's finding out, because now you hear all these corporations, and it always comes down to money, by the way. All these corporations are like, you know what? We're not going to donate to you for a while. We need to see the way this shakes out. We don't want to be involved with this. And here's the thing. It's not like they all got morals or anything. It's because Donald Trump's on the way out. That's the way this was always. Donald Trump can't send a tweet anymore because he's kicked off Twitter, which we'll get to shortly. But he can't hurt anybody anymore. So now the Republicans are dusting off their spine, if they ever had them. They're sticking their hand in the middle of their bodies and dragging their balls from inside their tummies so they can hang below their knees again. They're like, oh yeah, we have morals and principles. No, you don't. You're just not afraid anymore because the big bad orange man is leaving town. Donald Trump has been emasculated. That's what's going on. So now everybody's getting their balls. But as is typical Donald Trump, all these dumb motherfuckers believed, like in Trump University and everything else that's ever thought Donald Trump was going to bring you something good. And Donald Trump is going to skate away, although maybe not this time. And they're caught holding the bag because they bought it. And I said it time and time again. The only one who can do what Donald Trump does is Donald Trump. And they don't understand that. You can't wear your ID badge when you pillage the Capitol. It's just a no-no.
It's absolutely true. What you're saying is that they've been emboldened because they see him with nothing happening to him. Well, I mean, he was impeached, but really what actually happened? He kept his job, business as usual. He really could, up until now, shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and nobody would stop him.
I would suggest he still could do that. All right, now the next one is an artiste, an artist, a musician. So it's a, what I want to get to in this is, should there be a different standard for artists who are our job is, and Ward will certainly attest this, we've been grinding the same way, we have to be provocative. That's what our job is now. We can no longer put out art without being provocative in a lot of ways. So this is about Ariel Pink. He got kicked off his label Mexican Summer, which is very ironic that it was dropping him from the roster. He said, due to recent events, Mexican Summer and its staff have decided to end our working relationship with Ariel Rosenberg, a.k.a. Ariel Pink. As a person of the Jewish persuasion, I will tell you, Ariel Pink, much better name for an independent rock star than Ariel Rosenberg. We have some nice music from Ariel Rosenberg. Gather round, children. Ariel's going to play a tune. Ariel Pink, much better. So that was one good decision he made. Ariel Rosenberg, not good if you want to rock. It's good if you want to nosh. Ariel Rosenberg's good for noshing, not for rocking. But I digress. Moving forward, the label said in a terse one-sentence announcement on Twitter. Pink has been the subject of a furor in the indie rock world after confirming that he had been in D.C. for the rally, although he denied had taken part in the riot that descended upon the Capitol after Trump provoked the crowd. Subsequently, incendiary comments Pink had made in a podcast in December came to light that he may have further endangered his relationship in the music community. Pink said, of anyone who can still be a Democrat, at this point, to me, it's like all of a sudden, all their intelligence just got shown to be a complete farce. All the smarts in the world that they had, all their artistic fucking genius was just window dressing. That's going to be the name of my next album, Window Dressing. In the podcast, Pink also contended that COVID vaccinations do not prevent the disease and cast doubt on climate science because literally everything the Democrats stand for, every single platform, is bullshit. So Trump, for me, is an indictment on anything bullshit. I'm so gay for Trump, I'll let him fuck me in the butt. And history will dictate, if you do that, when you would like you to return the favor and slap him on the ass with a magazine. But I digress. Pink was somewhat more circumspect this week, but still openly supportive of the president when fans on social media, most unaware of his political beliefs, asked why he was at the rally. "I was in D.C. to peacefully show my support for the president," he replied via tweet. "I attended the rally on the White House lawn and went back to the hotel and took a nap. Case closed." Asked by another follower whether he was concerned about attending an event where few were masked during the pandemic, Rice invoked Black Lives Matter protests, suggesting hypocrisy. "All the people at these events deserve what's coming to them. They took the risk knowing full well what might happen. BLM protests over the past 6 months are not informed about the pandemic?" he asked. I should have read that differently. Anyway, the brouhaha began after Pink and fellow Trump-supporting John Moss were pictured on Instagram in a D.C. hotel with the caption, "The day we almost died, but instead had a great time." The photo was now deleted, appeared on the account of a so-called red-pilled filmmaker, Alex Lee Moyer, who recently had Pink and Moss score a film of disaffected young men in the 4chan community, TWF, no GF. Does anybody know what that is?
What?
TWF, no GF. All right.
No GF, no girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We'll go with that.
Does not believe in being gluten-free?
They are a pro-gluten movement. In the recent Wrong Opinion podcast, egged on by a host whose views seem to be even more extreme than his own, Pink referred to Moss as being politically like-minded and said, "John is, by the way, 1,001% on Team Trump now." Pink's arguments in favor of Trump and willingness to express support even after the rally led to widespread scorn among other musicians the last 2 days. "Now I have nothing boring to listen to," wrote Phoebe. All right, a lot of people came out against him. Going much further back, Pink had previously alienated fellow musicians with irreverent remarks that some condemned as homophobic. "I'm very old-fashioned, very traditional in my values. I don't understand what all this gay marriage stuff is about. It really pisses me off," he said in a 2012 interview with Pitchfork. "I don't really even support marriage per se. I'm all for being a deviant. All for being a deviant and being proud. Don't pretend like you're Betty Crocker. I love gays, by the way. I love pedophiles too. And I love necrophiliacs and all these other people. When do they get their marriage and orientation? When do they get to talk about their sexual repression and how society doesn't accept them?" Well, probably not soon, because they're crimes. In New York, in a New Yorker profile, I'm just saying, what do I know? Listen, I'm gay.
Will people stand up for the pedophiles?
Listen, I don't know. God. I don't know if you listened to the first part of the show, but I was standing up for the people who commit bestiality. You know, I just said it's censorship, that I can't be on Facebook's platform fucking a cat. I'm being censored. I can't cat fuck, and it hurts.
Well, this Davenstead is a very pro bestiality show. It's just the pedophilia we can't get down with.
Yeah, because then you got to keep your distance, and you know who really can measure feet that far away. But anyway. In a New Yorker profile 2 years later, responding to growing criticism of his remarks, Pink said, "Everybody's a victim except for small, white, nice guys who just want to make their moms proud and touch some boobies." It was shortly after that, more than 6 years ago, that Pitchfork ran an unsigned staff attributed op-ed accusing him of trolldom with the headline, "Ariel Pink's joke isn't funny anymore, like an alt-rock extension of a self-satisfied 4chan user. Ariel Pink continues his episodic PR campaign to offend. Pink is cashing in, embracing the role of the troll. He's playing us and being rewarded for it. The real thing is Ariel Pink hasn't won at all. While he brings himself a lot of headline-grabbing attention, he's actually bringing a spotlight to the very real and pervasive racism and misogyny that is deeply embedded in indie rock to the surface. All that needs to happen now is that we all recognize this." Pitchfork had once named Pink's Round and Round the best song of 2010. On Wednesday, watching the stir grow over support for right-wing views, Pink tweeted, "Welcome to the panoptogen." I don't know what the fuck that is. He spelled it wrong. "They wasted no time. Save yourselves, friends. Cancel me now and turn me in before they come for you." So, and he was dropped by Mexican Summer. Listen, man, I mean, this guy just attended, like, he has horrible views, in my opinion, but he just attended the rally. Like we said, he didn't storm the Capitol. I mean, this guy's been, had these views for years. Why now? It seems a little, weak.
Well, and I'm surprised that I've never heard of the guy until now. And I say that because I know that's a thing that people often do when they're trying to criticize a celebrity or a notable figure who comes out and makes a political statement they don't agree with. They go, who? Who? He's obviously shit. I've never heard of him. And a lot of times they end up revealing how out of touch they are and how little they know about what's going on in popular entertainment at the moment. But I like to think I know what's going on in entertainment at the moment. And I'm actually surprised at myself that I haven't heard of him before and that I didn't know all these things, right? But, I mean, are we essentially talking about a younger douchebag version of Andrew W.K.?
Yeah, but Andrew W.K., you know, wasn't really a douchebag. He's actually kind of thoughtful.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't think Andrew W.K. is a douchebag. I think if Andrew W.K. jacked off into a Kleenex and tossed it in the street, would it be this kid?
It could. You know what this guy reminds me of? Again, I don't know what he really thinks. He seems like a heel wrestler. That's what he's like. He's in the middle of the ring and he's got the microphone. He's like an untalented Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's what he's doing. He's he's calling your wife ugly. He's saying this, you know, that's what I mean. I don't know what he really thinks, but I mean, if they like his music, does it this seems like cancel culture. He did not commit a crime. He has out-of-step views. We don't know if he committed pedophilia. There's no allegations he did. He's just saying outrageous shit. I mean, listen, teachers get fired for saying outrageous shit, too. But should there be a different standard for artists whose whole job is to draw attention to ourselves? So often, Ward and I have been put in the position of, yeah, you're funny, but nobody knows you. So you know.
Well, so many people now, you know, we're talking about cancel culture. There are artists that we know that are beloved. I mean, people love Andy Kaufman, for example. Not me. But people revere him as a genius. And I don't think, thank you. I think it was just really, he was just sort of, it was masturbatory. He would just go on and on with a bit that was unfunny and just, you know, because he took it. Yeah, he was a troll. And because they took it to outrageous lengths, people think, oh, that's genius, that's so brave. No, he was an asshole to me. But anyway, this guy is sort of a version of that sort of performance. But in this day and age, that is really not... I mean, as much as people got sick of Andy Kaufman's stuff, too, in the day, I think that, you know, there are people that are going to get sick of that now because, you know, they're... It's overused, but there are many, many Karens and Kens out there, and the tolerance for things that are offbeat is less. And this guy really take like you know, God, he's an outreach of 4chan.
I think that this guy is essentially just like I jokingly said about Andy Kaufman or whatever. This guy essentially is a troll, and he's using trolling techniques to get him attention, and he's done it forever. So in that respect, I'm not surprised what happened to him. But at the same time, this is tamer than shit he's done before. So, I mean, like way tamer than shit he's done before.
Yeah, so apparently.
There's that part of me that goes, okay, you know what? I'm totally for the people that stormed the Capitol. They got to have consequences for their actions. For this one, I go, it sounds like here... He's being canceled, if you will. He's being penalized for doing something that's far less controversial than shit he's done in the past. But on the flip side of that, as an entertainer who knows how easy it is to get fired or dropped or canceled just for crossing the wrong person at the wrong time or saying the wrong thing in the moment, depending on what the mood of the society is at the time, I say I'm also not surprised. That doesn't mean I necessarily support it, but it just means, look, I've been fired as a comedian and as a writer and as a radio host and as an entertainer for far less. And I don't like it, but at the same time, I'm also fully aware of the fact that this is part of the business of show, and it is something that comes with it. And sometimes you just don't have any control over the way those winds are going to blow when the people that are in charge and have all the money and the power decide to cut you loose. It's just part of the business of show. It's just show business. This is how it works, man. And we can say it sucks, and it does suck, but it's also not new. The thing about cancel culture, and everybody talking about that, I've always argued that cancel culture isn't a thing because it's always been around. It's not that I don't believe that people get canceled for saying things, or they get canceled unnecessarily or whatever. It's just that it's always been that way. But since we see it so frequently now, because social media amplifies it and brings attention to it, we now think it's some kind of a big deal or it's something new. And it isn't. We also are in a period where public figures are far, far more vocal about these issues and societal issues and politics than they used to be, right? So that's the issue here. So do I think that they overreacted with him? It's not up for me to decide. But I will say he's obviously said shit worse than this. He's done shit worse than this, right? But you never know which way the wind is going to blow when the powers that be that have the money and the control decide that you're a liability and that your stunt isn't really helping them.
I think what's
Lisa in our chat room says, if you push the envelope, you have to be prepared for the consequences.
Well, but the problem, yes, you're absolutely right. But the problem is the line keeps on shifting. Although most people would agree, this guy's been pushing the envelope for a while. But you know, listen. But where does it? It seems like he's getting canned now because he was at the rally. That seems like what it was. What about Kid Rock? I mean, Kid Rock's much bigger. Kid Rock has done fundraising events for Donald Trump. Are they going to cancel Kid Rock now just because he's a Trump supporter? Because he's done fundraising events? Does Kid Rock have to be silenced? I mean, that's why you have to start to worry as an artist. Yeah. How much of the politician you support are you responsible for?
Sure. And I mean, Davin, you know it. You know that I've been fired for my political views from different gigs. And, you know, and not even for displaying my political views at the gig or doing what I was doing at the time, right? Just because they found out about my politics outside of what I was hired. Oh, yeah. And it sucks, and I don't agree with it. I really don't agree with it, and I don't like it. But at the same time, it's just something I've accepted that's always been part of how business works. And it is. You know, I mean, do I believe in free speech? Yeah, of course I do. But at the same time, I can't have it both ways. I can't believe in a society of free speech, but I can't also believe in one without consequences. I also can't be pro-business when I work in show business and then say, it's unfair to treat my art like a business when I'm treating it like a business. You know, it's a difficult argument. It's a fine line that we walk, and we can hate it all we like, but there are going to be boundaries, whether we like it or not, when someone else controls the purse strings, when someone else controls the money. It's that's just how it's going to be. The people with the money are going to always support you, not always, but they're usually going to support you as long as you continue to make them money. And if they think they're going to lose it because of you, you're gone. It's just, and we can say that sucks, and we can hate it, and all of that can be true, but it's also the reality.
All right, let's move on, because it's a nice lead into this one. I think we're going to really be able to sink our teeth in. Everybody's talking about it. The social media ban. Platforms are rapidly removing Donald Trump's account or accounts affiliated with pro-Trump violence and conspiracies like QAnon and Stop the Steal. They've also removed Steve Bannon, Mike Flynn, lawyer Sidney Powell, a big MAGA in the QAnon community, Ron Watkins. They've all been removed. So fans are moving to alt-right sites such as Gab. So it's quite the lengthy list of social media platforms that have said nay, nay. Reddit's banned the subreddit group r/Donald Trump. Let's see. They prohibit Reddit site-wide policies prohibit content that promotes hate or encourages, glorifies, incites, or calls for violence against groups of people or individuals. In accordance with this, we've been proactively reaching out to moderators, blah, blah, blah. Clearly, they've never read the Opie and Anthony thread on Reddit, because there's a lot. Even towards our own our own Joe Curry, people have wished horrible things on him. So
yes, they have.
But let's see. So Twitch. What's Twitch? I don't know what Twitch is.
I don't know.
Twitch is it's a live video service, much like Zoom. I shouldn't say much like Zoom. People will correct me when I say that, but that's what it is. It's a video social networking site.
Okay.
So Twitch disabled Trump's channel, citing the move as a necessary step to protect its community and prevent Twitch from being used to incite further violence. In light of the shocking attack on the Capitol, we have disabled President Trump's Twitch channel. Given the current extraordinary circumstances and the president's incendiary rhetoric, we believe this is a necessary step to protect our community and prevent Twitch from being used to incite violence. Shopify. I didn't know what Shopify was. Shopify took down two online stores affiliated with Trump, his organization, and his campaign's merchandise sites for violence, its policies on supporting violence. Twitter, we know about Twitter. Twitter announced that Trump has a lifetime ban effective immediately. After close review of recent tweets from @RealDonaldTrump account and the context around them, we permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further incitement of violence. Google has pulled Parler, a social media. Hey guys, hold on. I got to leave right now. I'm shutting down my Facebook. I'm going to Parler. No, I'm not that asshole. We just saw a lot of them. Pip, you're frozen again, by the way, but you know that.
I know. I'm trying to get back in.
And once again, you're frozen in a dismayed look. Google has pulled Parler, a social media app for conservatives and far-right extremists. In order to protect user safety on Google Play, our longstanding policy requires that apps displaying user-generated content have moderation policies and enforcement that removes egregious content like posts that incite violence. YouTube is accelerating its enforcement of election misinformation and voter fraud claims against Trump and other channels. Facebook has banned Donald Trump at least until after the inauguration. They believe the risks of allowing the president to continue to use their service during this period are simply too great, Mark Zuckerberg said as somebody woke him up to what was going on. Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, has banned them also just like until after the election. Snapchat disabled Trump's after the inauguration. Snapchat disabled Trump's Snapchat account because it believes the account promotes and spreads hate and incites violence. TikTok. I thought Trump was shutting down the old TikTok. TikTok is removing his content violations and redirecting hashtags like Storm the Capitol and Patriot Party to its community guidelines. Hateful behavior and violence have no place on TikTok. Content or accounts that guide to incite, glorify, or promote violence violate our community guidelines and will be removed. And by the way, did you see Donald Trump's dance? It has no place on this platform. Apple suspended Parler from its App Store Friday after threatening to remove the right-wing friendly social media app Parler from its App Store. If Parler doesn't lay out a plan to moderate its content, Apple cited concerns over threats of violence and inadequate content moderation on the service. Discord. I had never heard of Discord before. Discord says it's bans. You've heard of it? No? It's bans.
No, I haven't.
I think it's a server company. Has banned server The Donald per journalist Casey Newton. While there is no evidence of the server being used to organize the January 6th riots, Discord decided to ban the entire server today due to its overt connection to an online forum used to incite violence and plan an armed insurrection in the United States. And that was reported by Mother Jones. Pinterest has been limiting hashtags related to pro-Trump topics such as Stop the Steal since around November, election spokesman said. Amazon.
Oh my God, you're so old and out of it. It's called Pinterest.
Oh,
I know. I wasn't getting corrected, but I was Pinterest. What the hell Pinterest. Is that?
You know what? Because I'm not a fucking 45-year-old soccer mom. Go fuck yourselves.
You kids today with your Juice Newton and your Atari 2600.
Hey, don't fuck with Atari 2600. Listen. Just because I'm not selling potholders that I made, go fuck yourselves. I got no use for Pinterest.
That's Etsy, you fucking out-of-touch old man.
What's Pinterest? Is that the one where you put pictures up?
Yeah. Pinterest is.
Okay. All right. Yes, I'm not putting pictures up. All right, fuck me. I'm sorry. What do you want me to tell you? I don't even want to be on Instagram and Facebook, but I have to be. I don't want to talk to anybody, but I got no choice. But I guess my age is showing. It is, point noted.
He wants to avoid people on all platforms.
Yes, I need to be deplatformed. Amazon AWS, that's their Amazon's AWS cloud unit, has ceased providing Parler with cloud services. In an email obtained from BuzzFeed News, AWS Trust and Safety Team told Parler Chief Policy Officer Amy Pikeoff, recently we've seen a steady increase in the violent content on your website, all of which violates our terms. It's clear that Parler does not have an effective process to comply with the AWS terms of service. Now get to stepping, you assholes, you. Stripe.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you know what Stripe is? I thought Stripe was a gremlin.
Stripe is a payment portal.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Right.
I have Square. I don't have Stripe. Stripe will no longer process payment for President Trump's campaign, which continued to fundraise and take money from you, you dumb motherfuckers. He raised $250 million off you, which he can use for whatever he wants, because you just had to keep on giving to him after you should have known better. Everybody told you to stop. That should be hashtag stop the steal. That should have been the hashtag stop the steal. You dumb motherfuckers, you.
Yes,
okay,
so Stripe is a PayPal alternative.
But PayPal's owned by a right wing guy, right?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think the CEO of PayPal, or the creator of PayPal, spoke at the Republican convention, which is fine. It's his right. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, sure.
Okta.
Stripe is just trying to save these people from themselves.
Yes.
The way I see it.
Okta on Sunday said it terminated Parler's access to a free trial of its product. You don't get our free shit. No matter, it doesn't matter if you've ever heard of us or not. No free shit for you. Twilio. I mean, is that like an app for people, for vampires and werewolves? What the fuck is Twilio? Twilio said Sunday that it suspended Parler indefinitely. Twilio's terms of service make it clear what we expect of customers based on activity of the Parler platform. We determined they were in violation of our AUP, specifically prohibiting the spread of disinformation, encouraging violence, destruction of property, and other illegal activity, threatening public safety, and harming Twilio's reputation, the Telegraph said. So it's a communications company. MySpace. Tom has unfriended him. All right. So now Parler has sued Amazon. Parler is the alternative social media platform favored by the far right, sued Amazon on Monday in response to being deplatformed, alleging an antitrust violation, breach of contract, and interference with the company's business relationships with users. The complaint asks the federal court for a temporary restraining order against Amazon and calls Amazon Web Services' decision a death blow to Parler. Yeah, that was their plan. Without AWS, Parler is finished and has no way to get online. That's not true, by the way, the complaint said. And a delay of granting this TRO, temporary restraining order, by even one day could also sound Parler's death knell as President Trump and other movers move to other platforms. Parler's lawsuit argues that Amazon has unlawfully sought to restrain competition by eliminating a player from the market. It also claims Amazon breached its contract with Parler by not providing Parler the 30 days notice of termination, and that its actions interfere with Parler's relationship with current and future users. In a letter obtained by CNN Business that was sent to Parler Chief Policy Officer Amy Pikeoff on Saturday, Amazon Web Services said that in recent weeks it's reported 98 examples to Parler posts that clearly encourage and incite violence. The letter includes screenshots of several examples. We've seen a steady increase in the violent content on your website, all of which violates our AWS. It's clear that Parler does not have an effective process to comply with AWS terms of service. Amazon did not immediately respond. Real quickly, I think where they might have a point is with the violation of the contract. Obviously, I don't know if in the contract it says AWS can suspend it right away, but I would think that 30-day thing might be part of the agreement. If you're paying for their service, you just can't shut it off. I mean, I'd have to see the letter, see, you know, hey, if you don't do better, we're going to shut you off. I don't know what the letter says, but I think that might be Parler's legal argument. But by the time, unless they get a temporary restraining order, by the time this plays out in court, Parler is done. Now, where they say they can't get online, nay-nay, Nay, nay, you can get online. You have to get a private server. You dumb motherfuckers, you. It costs you a lot of money, but that's how you get online. Your freedom is, your way to do business is not being taken away from you. Your way to do business on Amazon is being taken away from you. There's a difference. Amazon does not owe you, putting the violation of the contract aside, the right to be on their platform. Every server has terms of service. Like when I was looking for a company to host davincomedy.com, there were certain servers that wouldn't let you have nudity on their platform. That's why, you know, sites like Pornhub go to, except you, Pip. They said, please, it's good for science. But,
what? No nudity? Well, we don't want them either.
Sites like Pornhub go to companies that will allow them to have porn. You pay for the right to be on the service. If you want more freedom, you're going to pay more money. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I have this on a source that the Department of Defense has been concerned about all the Chinese and Russian IP addresses using Parler, and they told Parler about this, and Parler did not do anything about it. So my source says that's why Parler's been targeted. Take that for what it's worth, but that's what was told to me. So, all right.
Okay.
Now I want to get into this whole First Amendment. Let me get this out, and then you guys jump in. Let me just say this real quick. Sure.
Let me just say this real quick. The AWS Terms of Service, which I have them in front of me, is that, yes, they it talks about how they will provide you, we may terminate this agreement for any reason by providing you at least 30 days advance notice. However, they did not outright terminate Parler immediately. They suspended the account, right? But when Parler would not agree to the terms and conditions that AWS put forward for them to move forward, then they terminated the account because by failing to do that, Parler was in breach of their contract.
Ah.
Well, I mean, it's
very nicely done.
Good job, Ward. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because that part's going to be litigated. That you know.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So as I alluded to in the first part of the show, a lot of people are saying the First Amendment. And I feel like I've explained this time and again, but I'll do it once again, and this time I'll have court cases. I don't think I've ever had court cases before. So the First Amendment...
Yeah, really? This is turning into contracts law.
That's the one law class I didn't take out of, like, the core classes. I never got to contracts, but whatever.
Really?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, and also as part of this contract, AWS can cancel it at any time if they feel that your service in any way would leave them liable to litigation.
Huh. Well,
that
will take us to Section 230, which I'm going to get to in a minute, whether they would be liable or not. But here's the First Amendment. The First Amendment protects free speech from the government, not private enterprise. The three of us know this. How many times do you have to hear people say, my free speech? Yeah, the government's not going to stop you, but a business can say, I don't want that shit. Knock it off. That's why when Joe is on our show, he knows he's going to say some things that people might not agree with. He doesn't wear his day job's shirt because he doesn't want to affiliate it with that. He doesn't want to do that because he knows his job can get rid of him. But they're not violating his free speech. They're like, no, go ahead and talk. You just can't do it with us. That's all it is. So people got to stop with that. Now, what does free speech protect? You can have hate speech. You can say all the racist shit, all the you know, homophobic shit you want to say. You can say all that stuff. That is protected speech. In the 1969 SCOTUS ruled in Brandenburg versus Ohio that imminent calls to lawlessness are not protected under the First Amendment. Under the imminent lawless action test, speech is not protected by the First Amendment if the speaker intends to incite a violation of the law that is both imminent and likely. While the precise meaning of imminent may be ambiguous in some cases, the court provided later clarification in Hess versus Indiana, in which the court found that Hess's words were protected under his rights to free speech, in part because his speech amounted to nothing more than advocacy of a legal action at some indefinite future time, and therefore did not meet the imminent requirement. So basically, here's what it is. So if you say, we're gonna burn it all down, chances are under Hess, your speech is protected. However, if you say, we're going to burn down the Capitol on January 6th, then it's not protected because you have the imminent violence. So when they're talking about all this lawlessness and everybody knows it's on January 6th, you're not protected. You don't have free speech, you dumb motherfuckers, you. Before you start spouting shit off, know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, you know, they think that there's so much ignorance regarding this. They think that they are protected to do whatever they want, but it's just like, you know, I think we all saw the girl that got maced going, oh, they maced me in the face. You think you're trying to break into a federal building?
You know what?
You don't get to do whatever you want because I can't believe that they came at me. You're coming in with a mob saying, hang the vice president. What do you think was going to happen to you, you little snowflake?
You know what the report...
Part of that video is at the end. So throughout the whole thing, she's talking about they maced her and she can't believe it and this is awful and this is wrong. They said, what were you doing? And she said, we're storming the Capitol. It's a revolution.
I know. I know. Like, well, of course.
That's like... That is like somebody being detained and chased by the cops and then handcuffed and a police officer walking up and going, what happened? Like, they threw me to the ground when I ran away and they put handcuffs on me and they put me in this car. What were you doing? I was going to rape somebody, man.
You know, as you do.
Yeah. Like, she actually finished off that little snippet of video by confessing to a federal crime.
And the change on her face from, whoa, poor me, we were storming the Capitol, what do you think? It was like, whoa, okay, feral demon child. You know, you don't get to just do that.
All right. But we're not really talking about the First Amendment here. We know that. I had to explain, but I want to explain. So here's what's going on. We are talking about private companies. How can companies limit my speech? Well, if you start cursing at Burger King, what do you think's going to happen? If you start yelling, get out of the ball pit, you dumb motherfucker kids, I'm going to fuck you. You know what? The manager's going to ask you to leave. Take your little crown, it's time to go. But my free speech, yeah, you can yell it outside on public property, but you can't yell it here. This is my place. That's what the social media companies are doing. You can yell whatever you want to do, we just don't want to have it here. That's what they're doing.
Right.
And here's the thing. Well, but they're limiting free speech. Their company. In Citizens United, the Supreme Court ruled that companies have free speech. That's why they can donate money. So by denying your speech in their establishment, they are exercising their freedom of speech. So Ward's going off, I hate redheads. I hate redheads. Well, you can't hate redheads in here. I'm taking that away from you. That's my free speech. They're just doing what they're allowed to do. Corporations are people too. You like it when they donate to your candidate? Well, this is the shit that happens.
And if you don't like gingers, get to step it.
So here's the thing with social media. We are using their platform to their leisure. That's what it is. If you don't like it, leave. We all signed the terms of service. Them's the rule. Now I want to talk about Section 230, which we've heard a lot
about. Hold on. Before you go further, let me just say this real quick. I've seen a lot of people arguing about this and going, yes, technically, you know, oh, they have the right, and yes, they can do this, and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people try to focus on, they go, but Amazon and Apple and all of them, you know, they're a monopoly and they control 80% of the market and everything. And I say to that, first of all, it's not their fault. They're the most popular. like there are over two dozen different social media sites that perform the same function as Facebook and Twitter, for instance, mm-hmm. right? People just don't want to use them because there's not as many people there. That doesn't mean that the places that are the most popular have a monopoly and no one else can do business and that no
That's
one else
point.
Can have their own platform. It doesn't mean that. AWS, like Parler, for instance, people are going, wow, they're shutting down Parler. I go, Parler never was its own service. It was always using someone else's platform,
correct.
Someone else's servers. So you can't even sit there and go, they're shutting us down. It's unfair. And by the way, 3 hours ago, the president and founder of Parler, has said they are going to come back with their own servers.
Oh, he figured it out. Oh, yay. Stupid figured it out.
Yes. So you know, when everyone's talking about this kind of thing, and I've heard people saying, well, you know, Apple and Google have banned them and they control everything. And I go, but they're not the same company. And so we can talk all we want about how two companies control everything or three companies control everything, and we can hate that. We can totally hate that all we want. But there are other companies, okay?
Yeah.
There are other companies. It's right now, it's not a monopoly. Right now, this isn't an antitrust thing. And that's something that people keep trying to argue with this. And I say, these other options are out there. They're just not popular. Right? And social media sites go down all the time and get ruined all the time. Nobody showed up screaming that it was unfair that no one's at Friendster anymore.
Well, I'm still there.
Right.
Under, no, hey, I'm still there. What? We're not a thing anymore? No, we're not.
It's gone.
Damn it! Damn it! It's an attack on my freedom of speech!
Where's everybody bitching about Foursquare? Okay? These are things that sites that didn't take off. They weren't popular, or they were popular and they fell. You know, we were talking about MySpace. MySpace still exists and still has millions of users. So when you, it's true. It's absolutely
true. I know. It just makes me laugh.
But this is what I'm saying. That's also been the argument. People have gone, it's not fair for one or two companies to control all this because they can all decide together to team up and silence people, which, A, you can't say when there's actually dozens of opportunities, but two or three are the most popular. But B, you can't say it when they're actually in competition with each other. It doesn't actually benefit Apple and Google to both decide to ban the same thing.
Correct.
It actually does. It would actually do Google probably far more good to do the opposite of what Apple's doing.
Right.
Right. So we can't always constantly look at the corporation as being nefarious. You know, we've gotten in this habit now of turning corporation is automatically a bad word, just like government is automatically a bad word. Both of those things have great things about them and things that are shitty about them. It is not,
yes.
It is not, you know, all one or the other. It's a false dichotomy. We can't sit here and say corporations are evil, except when, right, or the government is horrible, except when. It's far, far more complex than that.
All right, let me get
Google or Apple to do the opposite of what the other is doing. That's not what they're doing in this case.
Let me get to the Section 230 thing, because that's what a lot of people are talking about right now. So there's been a clamoring away to do away with Section 230, who claim that free speech is perhaps one of the dumbest. Oh, I wrote this. I'm fucking reading it like an asshole.
That's what they're claiming.
Yeah, they're saying getting rid of. They're saying if what Section 230 does is it protects social media platforms from being liable. So if I say something and I commit a crime and I post it on Twitter, Twitter's not responsible for the liability. I'm responsible. Twitter's not responsible. Section 230 protects it. And again, you never heard the Republicans complaining about this shit, as I mentioned in the first segment, when they were calling Hillary Clinton a pedophile and making up lies about her. Nobody was upset about the shit that was on social media then. But now, because it's starting to go against the Republicans, now both sides want to get rid of 230. But let's play this out. And I'm not saying we should get rid of 230 or we shouldn't get rid of 230. I don't know. I think there's something in between. I think the way we have it right now probably isn't good enough. But to just abolish it? Because here's what happens. Okay, Facebook. Okay, Twitter. Okay, Parler. You're now liable for the things that your users say. You know what that means? There's going to be even more censorship.
More restrictions.
Yes.
More restrictions.
Yes.
I've heard people talking about how the government has to come in and take care of this and regulate this. And I go, that means that Trump and Parler and all that shit would have been gone a long time ago.
Because I can't take the chance that I'm going to get sued for something that you say. So you're going to have more restrictions. What's that also mean? You're never going to get competition like Parler, because you can't. There's no room for somebody new in the marketplace if you're liable. Well, I'd like to start up the social media platform. Really? Do you have insurance? I do. Well, how much do you have? Well, that's not enough. Will you invest in me? No, because you're liable. Because if somebody goes on Parler and sues, now I'm liable. And then if somebody posts it and they are liable on Twitter or whatever, what is the cutoff time? How long can it be up there until I'm liable? As soon as it goes up, am I liable? 30 minutes? 45? What an arbitrary timeline are we going to say that the censors or social media companies have to get rid of it?
Have you guys, did you guys ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Shark Tank actually started, it was spun off from a Canadian show, which itself is a remake of a British show called Dragon's Den. Sorry, David.
Ah.
But it's called Dragon's
Den. Ah.
I know. See, I started saying Dragon's Den. I'm so used to it. So Dragon's Den is Shark Tank. Like, we had it here for 10 years before Shark Tank debuted in the States, right? And by the way, some of the sharks were originally dragons, right, on the Canadian show.
Sure.
And I used to watch the show all the time, and I loved it. And there were always people that would come on every so often, and they would pitch some kind of a business that legality-wise towed the line. And especially before marijuana was legal. People would come in and try to sell some kind of a weed business, right? Some kind of a thing they'd created with weed and whatever. And that's happened on Shark Tank, I believe, on more than one episode. And so many times, the sharks or the dragons, the investors would say, you know what, you may have a good idea here. There's no way I'm touching this because of the legality behind it. There's no way I'm coming near it because of the legality. And they would say, well, you know, the legality is vague. And the investors would go, fuck that. Vague is good enough for me to stay away from it.
Also, what's ironic is the people that are like, our freedom, no more government regulations. You're asking the government to regulate. Your whole standpoint has been, let the marketplace dictate. Right now, the marketplace dictates where we're going to go for our social media. So you want the marketplace to dictate healthcare, but it can't be trusted to dictate Twitter? I mean, it just makes the people that are arguing for Section 230 are arguing against themselves. It's just so maddening.
It comes back to they want rights and laws to adhere to their politics and their political view first, and then everything should go around that afterwards. Now, not everybody. I don't mean Republicans, and I don't mean conservatives. I'm talking about Trump supporters, which is a different breed.
Yes.
And now they have taken over and infested the Republican Party and become the base, I do believe. But that's what you're seeing is people believing that the rules don't apply to them. But we've seen this now for years. The same people yelling about, you know, cancel culture and don't boycott and all that were people screaming, ha, 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 fuck you, Dixie Chicks. And ha, 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 fuck you, Kathy Griffin. So, you know, it always comes back to when the laws aren't convenient for them, they find the laws to be restrictive and oppressive. But when it works in their favor, they're okay with it. And that's why earlier when we were talking about free speech and a company being able to fire you or comedians or entertainers and all that, I long ago accepted that the laws often don't apply to me or they don't favor me when it comes to the things I say or the things I do because my money and my business is always reliant on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It always involves somebody else controlling the purse strings. And here you have that again. You're trying to tell the people with the purse strings that when it's convenient for you, the laws are different. And it's not.
So I put out a poll.
Right.
Put out a poll. Trump and others have been removed from social media for hate speech and inciting violence. Is society better served with this type of speech in the open or driven to the fringes of the internet? So 62.5% said in the open, 37.5% said hidden. Now, this was my blog this week, and as often the case, I don't agree with the majority. What the hell's wrong with me? I never agree with the...
It's just the way you are.
You got to do a cost-benefit analysis here. You know, the good thing about all this awful speech and incitement of violence being in the public eye is we can all see it. So if Ward is saying horrible things, you know, I thought Ward was one guy, and now something's happened and he's saying all these horrible things, and I'm seeing him say that stuff. I could go, you know what? I don't want to be friends with Ward anymore. I know who this guy really is. Or if a business promotes one type of thing, they're cruel to animals, whatever. I don't want to do business there anymore. That's a rare thing. But we're talking about violence here and hate speech. Now, here's the thing. These people are not going away. They've always been here. But before Trump, as we said earlier, they had the kindness to hide their fucking faces, which is what I like. I like my assholes hidden. And I like, because I'll tell you what. Here's why. Because when they're out in the open, people with those thoughts go, oh, there's more people like me. This is okay. Let's congregate. We can all form a rally or a group or a gang, whatever. Where if they're hidden, they don't know each other's out there. It's harder to find because most people don't know of a dark net. Most people don't know Tor. They don't know this shit. They don't know about encryption. But law enforcement does. Now, the problem with domestic terror is that there's no statutes for it. So the law enforcement can't do what it can, say, if ISIS was communicating. So it makes it harder for them. But I still think society is better served by making them go back into the shadows where they cannot organize and we would not see a rally of the storming of the Capitol. Because you have to tell you what, 20 people storming the Capitol can do a lot less damage than thousands of people storming the Capitol.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, we have said many times that the Trump presidency has emboldened people that have, racist and now with QAnon crazy ideas, and the social media platforms give them places to gather. Maybe we're seeing less of that, but they're still, they've found each other.
I have never liked Twitter and Facebook's exemption to the terms of service for Donald Trump because he was the president of the United States and a newsmaker. That to me, that says above the law. If this is my platform, and you can't say you're not, and nobody can say awful shit, then why should this guy? Now, the good thing is we get to know the awful shit that he really thinks. I mean, let's be honest. If Donald Trump was deplatformed at the beginning of last year, he'd probably be president right now. You know?
Yeah.
I don't.
And I mean, the other thing I always say, forget legality for a second. Just forget that for one second. Put that aside. You don't really want to live in a world or a society where speech is absolute. You really don't. And
right.
I hear people all the time argue that they do, and it's just not true. It just isn't true. And a fine example of that is a friend of mine recently going on and on and on about this on Facebook, and I said, well, that's fucking bullshit. And then she wrote, please don't curse on my Facebook page.
What?
Yes. And this was being angry about the Parler thing and all that. And I said, you know, you right now have restrictions on speech in your space. You have said you don't want cursing. And you don't actually want to live in a society with unrestricted speech. And when people hear that, they automatically start going communist and blah, 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 fascist or whatever. And I say, you don't really want a parent or a teacher to be able to walk into elementary school and go, let me tell you little fucking cunts what some bullshit about what I'm going to teach you fucks about today.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really want that. And that's where you start going when you play this whole all speech should be protected and all speech is okay. You don't really want to go there, and you don't realize it. And what's hilarious is a lot of us have discovered this week, a lot of the Trump supporters who are going crazy on Facebook and places like that, on social media, all about this is bullshit, this is censorship, I'm against it, I'm against all censorship. If you disagree with them and start telling them the laws about this, they'll block you.
Yeah.
Yes. Now,
They're for people that claim law and order, they're not so much with the legal. I've known that for a long time. Listen, I think Trump should have been deplatformed. The question goes, what about Kim Jong-un or the Ayatollah? I would say my rule would be, because we've heard that from the right wing, my rule would be if they have hate speech on the platform, they're going too. I don't care what you say anyplace else. If you bring it to my platform, you're gone. You know what? If you want to say Jews will not replace us in Charlottesville, but you're posting about apple pie and kitty cats on Facebook, you get to stay on Facebook. Them's the rules.
Well, and that's it. Someone said it just the other day, where they were like, or yesterday to me, when it was the same thing. It was like, well, did you know that, you know, so-and-so has a Twitter account or whatever? And I said, so-and-so hasn't breached the terms of services with Twitter.
Yeah.
You know?
I said, yeah.
I said, did you know that if you have internet access in prison, which few do, but some do, I said, being in prison does not disqualify you from being on Twitter if you follow the rules that Twitter has. So, and the funniest is that somebody said to me, just today, before I came on this podcast, they said, can you believe, like Qi and China, they're not banned from Twitter. Why is that okay? And I go, China's like one of the biggest trading partners with the USA. You don't get to treat them like they're our mortal enemy when you're tweeting about how this is bullshit from your smartphone made in China.
And I don't want to see you in a dollar store ever again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then, Pip, I'm glad you said that. But on top of that, I do want to point out that Twitter is banned in China. So I say your argument is more like China than mine is. Mine is they haven't violated Twitter's terms of services. Your argument is that, you know, Twitter should be regulated by the government, which is far more like China. But hilariously, yesterday, one of these Trump people whom I grew up with and I actually care about deeply blocked me after arguing about, you know, the censorship of Parliament or whatever, Parlor or whatever. And I thought it was hilarious that on her feed she said, it's time to start boycotting. So no more buying from Amazon, no more buying from Walmart, no more Apple products. And then I shit you not, one of her friends posted, I'm on board with this. That's why I've been doing all my shopping at Dollar General.
Oh, my God.
And I was like where the fuck do you think all that cheap product comes from? Like, where do you, honest to God, think that shit comes from?
They don't think.
Dollar General might as well be called China Mart. Like, it's the funniest thing that people don't seem to get. They'll go to these examples, but like when people talk about the Ayatollah, they go, well, the Ayatollah is still allowed on Twitter. I go, this is the thing. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to the worst.
Correct.
Right, right.
We're
absolutely
not the worst. We should not compare ourselves to the worst.
I want to say this, and then we'll take our break. You guys can comment on this thought and think. I don't think Facebook and Twitter are heroes here. I don't think any of these platforms, because Donald Trump has been an asshole even before he was president. He's been spreading bullshit.
Yeah.
But he certainly amplified his assholeness on the social media. I think what it is like, this guy's got no more fucking power. He can't hurt us. He's out. So we're going to make our stand now. I really think that's what this, if Donald Trump had another year, I don't think they would have done this shit. They're doing it now because he's done.
Don't get me wrong, by the way. Someone was talking about this earlier, and someone goes, oh, you're just applauding all them doing it. I go, I'm not applauding it. I think they're fucking pussies. If I thought they were brave, they would have done this a long time ago.
Right.
I go, they did it when they had nothing to lose from it. And I said, I don't think that's bravery.
Sorry. By the same token, I don't think that these people dumping out of the cabinet at the last minute are heroes either. It's like, you were ride or die up until now.
Yeah.
Come on. You think that this is the only thing? It was building up to this.
The only one.
See it?
The only one in that cabinet who ever resigned.
Them from having to vote on the 25th Amendment.
The only one in that cabinet who ever had any fucking principle was Mattis. Because he resigned when Trump was doing it with the Kurds. When he said, you know what? This is a bridge too far. I'm out of here.
Yep.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
That's the only one who's ever had any principle who's resigned from Donald Trump's cabinet. The rest were, you know, facing criminal issues or whatnot, or fell out of favor. There was no, oh, I suddenly have principles. Scumbags, everyone. Okay.
Now, wasn't this a 25th Amendment thing? This was,
I believe so.
Having to vote on that.
I think so.
Yeah, Elaine Chao, because they didn't know how this was going. Again, if they would have listened to me, I would have told them 5 years ago, this is going tits up. It's Donald Trump. It's always going to end badly. It never ends well. Well, we made a lot of money and we're certainly held in higher esteem now that we've associated with Donald Trump. Nay, nay! It always goes badly. Ask Michael Cohen as he's sitting in fucking jail.
Yeah, right?
All right. So we were going to talk about the airlines, but we're short on time, and we're going to keep Ward a little extra, but that's why I'm going to take a break now, and we're going to go to Savage Medicine, play a short game of Savage Medicine when we come back. But on the break, you have Mark Dugan. Well, Ward, can you stay a few extra minutes? I should ask. I shouldn't
Indeed.
Just... Okay.
So, okay, thank
good.
You.
More Ward, more Gooder. On the break, you have Mark Dugan with Lullaby, I'll Be There, and Sahara with Lockdown. You can learn more about Mark Dugan at fluttertone.com, and you can learn more about Sahara at khb-music.de. So,